Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life. The process is there. We walk by faith and not by sight, but we trust God and allow Him to daily grow us up in the knowledge and the grace of Him, growing into the place of maturity, allowing the Word of God to be purified and perfected in us. In our daily lives, in our daily situations, and the things that we encounter where we allow the word that we have believed, received, digest, and now live to now be evident and seen in our lives, in hard places, in decision-making, in the troubles that we go through, in the everyday ups and downs of life where we pull on the word and what God has to say. We go to the word about the word that He's spoken concerning us, His people, and we prove that word. We command that word to be. We command our will to move out of the way and let the will of God be done, even in a place of making. So it is a place that God, who has called us for greater and more, who's called us into something that we could never call ourselves, never ever even imagine in our lives that God would ever choose us to be those who He would use in this time and this season for anything, small or great, for His glory. And we love it because God chooses unlikely people. He never chooses the ones that we would choose. He always chooses unlikely people. If you look at the Bible and you study and you see, God never chose the person that everybody else wanted. He chose the one that had the heart after Him that He had purposed and planned for His glory. So I'm so thankful and grateful that God has chosen us for such a time as this for His glory, for His honor and His praise, to get glory out of us as we are the light, the extension of Him in the earth, so that other ones, we're His hands, we're His feet, we're His mouthpiece. We are what God uses in this dispensation to show His grace, His glory, His forgiveness, His compassion, His love, and it's amazing. We've been looking at ordinary people in the Bible, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, not seeing them as some person that is just so spiritually full and so spiritually reverent of God. But we see them as ordinary humans who God has chosen. And as we look at them, we see that they didn't always make the right decision. They didn't always follow the plan. They didn't always do what God said. But it didn't refute or stop the word of God. It didn't stop what God had spoken concerning that person, that tribe, that nation. God still said, I'm going to swear by myself to use you, to bless you, to be with you, to defeat your enemies, to be your God, and you're going to be my people. So it's amazing to me because God shows up in a strong and mighty way with the word that nothing or no one can refute, not even your own failures. And He commands that word to happen and manifest in our lives because He's swearing by Himself because He understood Jesus, who was already in the mind of God, crucified before the foundations of the earth. He already saw the blueprint. He already saw the plan. He already saw the sacrifice. And because He saw that, He was able to be appeased with animal sacrifices until the Son of God came and paid the ultimate price finally for us. And now the grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is what we live in today. And not trying to frustrate that grace. We're not living it frustrated. We're doing everything in our power and in our mind and in our will to live a life that is pleasing. But when we fail, we have grace of our sin because we can sin in word, thought, action, or deed. But God is good. He forgives us in spite of ourselves. And that is amazing to us. We're going to look today at the process of the spoken word and the journey of victory, so to speak. And we're going to deal with this for a couple of days. And what I mean by that, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, and we're going to go to where God spoke to Abraham. And we see that God spoke to Abraham concerning who he was and what he was going to be. His name was Abram at that time. God spoke to him, and He said to him that I've chosen you, I've called you out of your people, leave them, and let me give you my plan. Leave the inheritance of the natural that you might gain the inheritance of the spirit. And I'm going to take care of your natural. But leave all of that and follow my plan. Leave the familiar and go to the unfamiliar and trust me to be your God. Trust me to bless you beyond measure. Trust me to enlarge you and increase you and multiply you greater than the tribe that you're connected to. Let me give you a spiritual inheritance and legacy that will go on years after you're gone, that they will understand that you were the chosen vessel, the enlightened character, the one who was a pagan worshiper, who didn't even understand or know the God that he's now responding to. But yet you understood my power, my authority, and my voice was greater than anything that you had experienced before. It's amazing when God, he reaches you and touches you in a place that nothing else that you've ever encountered could ever touch or compare to. And that's what God did with Abraham. His voice, his authority, his power, his plan, his purpose, what he showed him was greater than anything that he had ever experienced in his life. And it made him leave everything and go and follow the path and the destiny that God had for him. When God rehearsed this into Abraham's spirit, his mind, when he gave him that visual concept of where he's taking him, because we see that God allowed him to sleep. He went into a deep sleep, so God allowed him to dream about what he was getting ready to do. He not only spoke it to him, but he gave him a dream. And he made the dream, the impression of the dream, so great that Abraham had to talk about it. He had to discuss it. And sometimes when God gives you a dream that no one else has seen, or gives you or tells you something that no one else has heard, or they're not speaking because there's nothing new under the sun, but when he tells you something that no one around you is saying, it takes courage and it takes faith and trust in God to now rehearse what God is saying so that other generations can benefit from it. And what I mean by this, Abraham had to tell Sarah what God said, so that Abraham and Sarah would be in agreement to what God said. And that is the reason why Sarah got anxious and said, listen, God's taking too long. Let's go and get this baby. He promised this. So let's go ahead and get it, because we're getting older now and things are happening in our body. I see the changes that's going on in my body and in yours. And if we're going to get this baby, we got to go ahead and do it ourselves. But when you give birth, when you connect to a Hagar, and you give birth to Ishmael, it wars against the promise. And what was happening is Hagar, which was Egypt, was trying to now reconnect and take credit for that which was spiritual. Hagar and Ishmael were of the flesh. And so the flesh was trying to take credit for the deliverance of God, for that which God was going to do in the spirit, but God wouldn't even allow it. That's why she had to be sent away, disconnected from the promise, because she could not share in the promise of what God had promised for his children coming through Abraham and going to Isaac, then to Jacob, and then the children of Israel. So Ishmael could not share with that inheritance. He had to leave. He had to be disconnected. He had to be excommunicated. He had to be sent away so that he did not have part in that which was only chosen for the seed that was going to come, that was going to be spiritual and not natural. So God allowed Abraham to hear and see, to understand and know, get the instructions for what he was doing. And now Abraham had to now rehearse it in Sarah's mind, in Sarah's spirit, until she got it. So that when the time came, even that she put her hands to in the flesh, she had to be able to send it away. It didn't cost her anything, because she didn't give birth to it and she didn't plant the seed. But it cost Abraham, because he had an investment. He had an investment in Hagar. He had, there's no way that he could go and lay with her and not get a tie, not get connected, and then have her carry his child and then give birth to the child. Because when Isaac comes, Ishmael's 13 years old. So he's built a relationship. There is an investment there. So he has an investment in Ishmael and in Hagar. So to let that go, to obey God and let that go, was costly. But God let him know, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to handle that for you so your mind can be at peace. You go ahead and do what I've told you. And when God is telling you to do something, you've got to be sure that you're grabbing faith to believe God over something that you've got to let go of. Here it is, Abraham has begun the journey. He's begun the process. He's trusting and believing God. He's rehearsing what God said in the mind, in the heart of, in the ears of Sarah and those that are around, that they are the vessels and the generation and the tribe that God is going to use and choose. He's rehearsing this. And here it is, he has another son, but he has to let go of that which he loves to please God and to stay in the will of God. And there will be times when God will ask you to do something that is difficult, but it's all in the plan of God. And if you can let go of that, because obedience is better than sacrifice. If you can let go of that thing that you're sacrificing, that you're invested in, that you place time and energy in to gain and get what God is really leading you to and leading you in, that would be more costly, it would be more precious, more precious, more wealthier in the spirit and the natural than you ever could imagine. That you put your hand to, you're going to gain the favor of God in a greater way. So he has done that. And once he's done that, he now begins to rehearse the word of God, the life of God, now to Isaac. He rehearses it over and over and over again. He puts it in Isaac's spirit. And see, when you are rehearsing what God is saying, when nothing around you is looking like the multitude, when nothing around you is looking like the stars in the sky, when nothing around you is looking like the sands of the sea, the sands of the earth, nothing is looking like that. Abraham is still rehearsing it. Abraham is still believing it. He's still decreeing it. He's still declaring it. You will sometimes have to rehearse what God is saying over and over and over again when nothing around you is looking like what you said. But you've got to put it in the minds of the people and the heart of the people until they believe it, until they see it, until they taste it, until they're able to comprehend the mind of God on a natural level, even though it's been given to them on a spiritual level. They had to get the mind of God. Get what God was saying. Get what God was predestining. Get what God was taking them to, because this was a spiritual idea. This was a spiritual concept. This was a spiritual plan. But he was giving it to you in time. And your time did not match what was in the spirit realm. But you still had to rehearse it and say it until time looked like that which spiritually the eyesight of the spirit had already given you. That it produced the same thing, that it flowed in that same magnitude, that same power, that same authority, that same release, that same blessing, that same demonstration. You sometimes have to say it over and over and over again and completely get every doubter away from you and say it even though you know they're laughing, even though you know they're poking fun, even though you know that they don't believe, because that's what Sarah went through. That's what Abraham went through. They're calling him a father. And then his name changes from Abram to Abraham. And so he's now not just a father, but a nation of many. And so he is now being called something that his life is not producing, but he still has to say it. He still has to rehearse it. He still has to decree it. He still has to declare it. That's the same thing with you. You still have to declare what God says. If it's in your family, if it's with your children, in that marriage, that business, your physical body, that ministry, your finances, the direction that you see the community going, and you know what God has said, whatever it is that God is telling you to decree that does not look like what he showed you, you have to still decree it regardless of the mocking and the laughter that you're going to hear around you that's going to say they're saying something that ain't even happening. You still have to say that and believe it and stand on it regardless of what the enemy is saying or what the circumstances look like, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And the more that you say and decree God's word, the more you say and decree what God is telling you by faith, the more you stand on it, you're commanding that which is eternity to now be pulled out into time, to reshape and orchestrate everything that will try to refute the word of God that he's shown you concerning your life, your circumstance, your ministry, your family, your body, your children, whatever it is. You have to continue to say it until everything around you now conforms to the divine will of God, until everything around you now submits to the authority of God's will. And you have to say it sometimes with the one that is closest to you until they get it. Abraham had to say it to Sarah, rehearse it in Sarah's ears, put it in her spirit, put it in her that her heart, that whenever she got ready to the place and understood, I need to do something, even if it's the wrong move of going into Hagar, it was still a move that says, God promised something and I've got to see it. God promised something and it must come to pass. So you got to rehearse it into the one closest to you or the ones working with you, the ones in that ministry. Believe what you're saying. You cannot give up because it does not look like what God showed you. You've got to say it until you see the manifestation. I'm Dr. Cheryl Jackson. Thank you for joining me for this first part of this empowerment, where we're seeing things, the spoken word, come into manifestation, even when it doesn't look like it. I thank you for joining me today. Hope that you've been blessed and empowered and encouraged in your walk to believe God in spite of it all. I pray that you will join me tomorrow as we go further into this empowerment. Be blessed and join me again for Favor Life, the process of there. God bless you.